the book of Ruth. We're at chapter 3 tonight. Well, I'll begin with the first 6 verses of chapter 3, and then we'll proceed from there. Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, by the way, in the word then, is approximately 6 weeks of time. We talked about that last week, during which Ruth had been gleaning in the fields. So then, like 6 weeks later, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. It shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." She said to her, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. Chapter 3, we're talking about the appeal of Ruth, and the word appeal does have a kind of double sense of meaning. As we think about it in chapter 3, Ruth is going to make an appeal to Boaz. That's the one sense. The other sense is Ruth is appealing to Boaz. So it has both senses of that term. What we just read in the first 6 verses is Naomi's plan. You see in verse 1, the purpose of her plan is that she would seek security for Ruth. Seek security. It's a phrase very similar to what we saw in chapter 1, verse 9. The word security and the word rest in chapter 1, verse 9. Are the same word. Pretty obviously, in chapter 1, verse 9, Naomi was talking about her daughters-in-law getting husbands. And that's what she's talking about here. So the purpose of Naomi's plan is to secure for Ruth marriage and a home. The foundation for her plan, the beginning of verse 2, is that Boaz is their kinsman. Boaz was a kinsman, maybe a brother, probably a cousin, we talked about that last time, to Elimelech, who was Naomi's husband. And so he was also a kinsman to Naomi and to her sons who had also died. Remember, Elimelech and the two sons died, chapter 1, in a famine. So there is a foundation for Naomi's plan, because redemption laws of kinsmen, relatives, applied in this case. Redemption, ga'al, is a term that not only applies to redemption in general, but specifically to kinsmen redeemers. A kinsman redeemer is a goel. So goel and ga'al are very similar. And so those laws applied. Verses 3 and 4 that we read give the details of Naomi's plan, that Ruth is to go to where Boaz is, wait till he finishes his meal and falls asleep, and then when he lies down, she's to uncover his feet, and he'll tell her what to do from there. All of that is totally consistent with kinsman redeemer customs. Now, I know you say, well, she goes and she uncovers the guy's feet. You know, what in the world is that? Doesn't mean anything to you, but it meant something to them. That was part of the kinsman redeemer redemption process that we're learning about here. In verses 5 and 6, Ruth agreed to Naomi's plan and actually goes down and did everything that Naomi told her to do. Begin reading at verse 7. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. It happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask. For all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence." In verse 7, when it says that Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, the word merry simply implies that Boaz enjoyed his evening meal and fell asleep. It does not imply at all drunkenness. Don't read that into it. Boaz was not drunken. He was satisfied from his meal. And in verse 7 also, Ruth uncovered his feet and lay down. There is absolutely nothing questionable about her doing that. It is not anything immoral or sexually tempting. It is completely in correspondence with the kinsman redeemer process. So there's, you know, people read this and they read verse 7 and they go, well, she got Boaz drunk and then she came and tried to take advantage of him. That is not what's going on here. This is all completely moral. Verses 8 and 9, Ruth makes her request. And it is for Boaz to spread his covering over her. This was her legal right to call upon her nearest of relatives to fulfill the duties of a kinsman redeemer. So when she asks Boaz to cover her, Boaz knows exactly what that means. And again, there's nothing immoral or questionable going on here. There are three responsibilities of a kinsman redeemer in the Old Testament, and probably culturally outside the Old Testament there could even be more. But these three are mentioned in the Old Testament. The redemption of a deceased brother's property. So if a brother or a close relative dies and leaves property and belongings behind, the kinsman redeemer is supposed to buy those, pay those so that they become his on behalf of his deceased brother. That's Leviticus 25:25. In Deuteronomy 19, a second responsibility is avenging the blood of a deceased brother. That one does not apply in this case. Why? Because Elimelech was not killed by anyone. Elimelech died of a famine, probably starvation, and the sons did as well. So there's no need to avenge him here. But the third responsibility is levirate marriage, Deuteronomy 25:5. That is when the man dies, he leaves a wife. A brother is to take the wife as his own for the purposes of bearing children in the name of the deceased brother, so that the deceased brother would have a heritage of children. And that does very, very much apply here, and it is what Ruth was asking for when she said, cover me. So Boaz clearly in verses 10, 11, and 12 realized that this is what Ruth was requesting. And in verses 10 and 11, he stated that Ruth was kind and that she was a woman of excellence or a woman of virtue. And that same phrase is used in Proverbs 31 of the Proverbs 31 woman of excellence or valor, virtue. So Boaz is declaring her goodness and honor here. So this is a moral act. Verses 12 through 18, I'll begin reading at verse 12. Now, it is true, I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Remain this night, and when morning comes, if he will redeem you, good. Let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning and rose before one could recognize another. And he said, let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Again he said, give me the cloak that is on you and hold it. So she held it, and he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did it go, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done for her. She said, these 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said, do not go to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Then she said, wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has settled it today. Verses 12 and 13, Boaz states that there is the possibility of a closer kinsman, like, for example, if Boaz was a cousin, but this other guy was a brother, he would be first in line to be the kinsman redeemer ahead of Boaz. So that is possible, and Boaz says we need to check this out before we proceed any further. Verse 14, you see the purity of Ruth and Boaz. They were there together in the threshing floor, but rose early in the morning, even before they could see or recognize each other. Verses 15 through 17, Boaz provides barley for Ruth to take back to Naomi, and does that. Of course, Naomi wants to know how this whole plan worked out, and asks about that. And verse 18, we see that Naomi is at peace with this whole process. She says to Ruth, just wait, we'll see how it turns out, because Boaz is not going to rest until he's settled this today. So she has confidence in that. Chapter 4, we see the marriage of Ruth. Verses 1 through 13, the legal process that they have to go through. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, turn aside, friend, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city, and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Those 10 men will serve as witnesses and judges to this whole thing. So they are at the city gate. Notice Boaz didn't say, "You 10 men go to law school for 3 years and all that first, and you know, then we'll see, and maybe you'll have to go through a city appointment and vote to see if you can be affirmed as a judge at the city gate." No, none of that. Boaz picked 10 men and they sat down. Verse 3, he said to the closest relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance." The closest relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself because I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it." Now, this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning the redemption and the exchange of land to confirm it, any matter. A man removed his sandal and gave it to another, and this was the manner of attestation in Israel. So the closest relative said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses today that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Moreover, I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased may not be cut off from his brothers or from the court of his birthplace. You are witnesses today." All the people who were in the court and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel. And may you achieve wealth in Ephratah and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the offspring which the Lord shall give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth a son. So verses 3 and 4, the offer to the kinsman redeemer is presented, that he might redeem Elimelech's property. And at first, he agrees. So you see that at the end of the verse 4. He said, "I will redeem it." So at first he agrees. Then verses 5 and 6, Boaz gives a reminder that Ruth is part of the responsibility. This isn't just redeeming the land and the property, but you also have to redeem Ruth. This all goes together. And when he hears that, he turns it down. You can see that at verse 6. Apparently, this closer relative turned the deal down, because if he did, he would then have to take all of his property, and that would become then completely in the name of Naomi and her sons to bear children and have an inheritance for him. So he says, if I do this, I could lose my inheritance. So he says, I'm not going to do it. So he keeps his inheritance. And then there is this legal sign, verses 7 and 8, of the exchanged sandal. You know, an exchanged sandal had probably stronger value than a contract has today. So he took off his sandal and gave it to Boaz. That just says, I transfer my right to ownership completely to Boaz. Verses 9 and 10, Boaz assumes full kinsman redeemer responsibilities. Verses 11 through 13, the elders and all of the people witness this, pronounce a blessing upon Boaz and Ruth. And we'll learn in verse 12 about Perez and Tamar, who bore Judah, in just a few moments. But that the idea is that Boaz and Ruth would be fruitful and have children. So in verse 13, we clearly see that Boaz and Ruth are now married. The book ends with the divine blessing. Chapter 4, verse 13, the blessing of a son that was born to Boaz and Ruth. Verses 14 through 17, a blessing upon Naomi. We'll start reading at verse 14. The women said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and became his nurse. The neighbor women gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. So Naomi is blessed because of this marriage. She not only now has a grandson to continue the line, but she has someone who is taking care of her. Ruth and Boaz care for her, and Ruth has been caring for her throughout the book, hasn't she? So they say that Ruth is better to Naomi, verse 15, than seven sons. To have seven sons throughout the Old Testament was a sign of great blessing. So if Ruth is more better than seven sons, then think of the blessing that Ruth is in all of this to Naomi. Verses 18 through 22. Now these are the generations of Perez. So we saw Perez back in verse 12. And Perez and his wife Tamar. To Perez was born Hezron. To Hezron was born Ram. To Ram, Amminadab. To Amminadab was born Nashon. To Nashon, Salmon. To Salmon was born Boaz. To Boaz, Obed. And to Obed was born Jesse. And to Jesse, David. Now, to you, that probably just sounds like a list of names. But it's a very important list of names for a couple reasons. This traces David, and when we get to 1 Samuel, we'll start moving more in the direction of David. If we just went from Judges to 1 Samuel without the book of Ruth, you would have the question, okay, why in the world did David ever get chosen in 1 Samuel? But we have this in Ruth, so we can see David is traced back to Judah. And so you can see Judah and Tamar had their son Perez, and Perez Hezron, and Hezron Ram, and Ram Amminadab, and then Nashon, Salmon, Boaz, Obed, Jesse, and David. So it goes in a line, David back to Jesse, and this gives you that information here. So it's important for that reason. It's also important because the Messiah must come through the tribe of Judah and be a descendant of David. So what does this do? This pulls those two things together in the messianic line. So that Boaz, as the kinsman redeemer, is actually a picture of the Messiah in the book of Ruth. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 20 uses the term Goel, redeemer. It's a kinsman redeemer, and it's talking about the Messiah at his second coming as kinsman redeemer. So Jesus is the kinsman redeemer. Boaz is just pointing to it here in this book. And Jesus is, Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, both the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David. Now, I think you all know that. And you say, well, yeah, of course, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Root of David. But do you realize, without this little list of names here, you would not be able to put those two things together in your Bible. So this is a very important list. Does Jesus' genealogy go back to David? Yes. Does Jesus' genealogy go back to the tribe of Judah? Yes. How does it do that? Through Ruth and Boaz. And that's what both genealogies in Matthew and Luke indicate. So you have a little chart there that indicates it for you. And it's just great. I mean, do you agree with me? The Judges period, while there were advances and losses, there were some ups, but there were a whole lot of downs in the Judges period. Isn't it good to know that there will be the ultimate judge, the kinsman redeemer, who fulfills all of these prophecies? Is there hope for Israel? Well, you know, you get to the end of Judges, you kind of go, it's not looking very good, is it? But by the time we get to the end of Ruth, we begin to see God does have a plan through all of this that culminates in Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And we thank you that you have left us with this great information that fills in gaps of history for us, but you've also left us with great encouragement that the Lord Jesus is, in fact, the central person of all of history. And we, Lord, long for that day when we will see him front and center before your throne, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, who is alone worthy to open the seals of the book. And so, Lord, as we pray tonight, we pray in Jesus' name.